right. La, 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 la. Put your hands up. It's our live episode.
No audience for this.
Yellow Daisy.
Season finale.
Max.
What'd you say?
I said Max at the end.
Max?
Medina, it's nuts.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't call him that, right?
Whatever.
I did in previous episodes.
You did.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. We're the Gilmore Guys.
Hello. I'm Demi.
I'm Kevin.
We're the Gilmore Guys.
No, I have said that
you
too
jumped
much.
Jumped the gun.
I blew my wad.
My wad.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, man. Guys, we made it.
We made it.
We made it
to the end of
season one.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Like, it really does feel like this is just some stupid podcast, but I shouldn't feel as accomplished as I do, but...
Dude, it's an accomplishment for real, because we're 1/6 of the way.
That's true.
1/7, 1/6.
1/7 or 1/6, depending on what we're gonna do.
I feel like I'm completing, like, a New Year's resolution, but this is, like, not... It's a fun thing.
Exactly.
It's just so much.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on. Because I kind of run the Twitter,
Yeah, I was like, you do.
And I did an informal poll. I said, hey, if you had to choose, what would you want us to do? Gilmore Girls season 7
right.
And cover it, or do Bunheads instead? Or both. A lot of people said both. It's a little pie in the sky thinking, come on, guys, get together.
Why give them that option?
Yeah, why give them hope at all? But a lot of people said, yeah, do season 7. Give us some snark. Give us some shit. And kind of like really deconstruct. And some people said, actually, season 7 is better than season 6. I don't know if I agree with that.
You haven't seen it, right?
But based on the 1.5 episodes of season 7 I've seen, I don't know if I agree with that.
What if it's like Lorelai wakes up in the first episode and goes, that's weird. 6 years of my life, all a dream.
Well,
I don't even have a daughter.
That would be amazing.
That would be great.
Sane Elsewhere kind of opening. Let's do Twitter Q&A real quick. I did ask for some cues to A.
Twitter Q&A. I fucked up the theme song.
Let's hear that theme song one more time.
I can't even do the whistle. Twitter Q&A.
There we go. So at poop_doctor, a huge
I love poop doctor.
Piss Baby Prower is his name, and his avatar is Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog. Don't ever change. His question is, don't you want to punch the glasses off of that annoying guy with the guitar?
Yes.
All right.
We'll get into that, yes, we absolutely do.
Lauren at @themoose_abides asks us, what would a Gilmore Girls reboot be like? And I think we've covered it a little bit. If we were to kickstart a gritty cable TV version of Gilmore Girls, where you can just like have like graphic sex scenes, graphic violence, all the language. Who gets murdered?
Well, obviously.
The Troubadour.
Yeah. Season 4 is a tragic season because it ends with Lane dying.
Yeah.
Which is sad because at that point we love Lane.
Yeah, and she's pregnant with twins at that point.
Right, and she is played by Brenda Song.
Oh, that'd be an interesting recasting. If we were to recast the...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my gosh. Who would play... I can't even recast Lorelai.
Lorelai.
No, I can't recast Emily. Who would play Luke?
I don't know.
Nicolas Cage, because of the similarity in hairline.
Or some... I don't know.
But there would just be a lot of... It would be like Stars, where there's just like a lot of unnecessary nudity. I feel like that's a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I see so much... Like True Detective, you don't need to show frontal nudity so much. Maybe I'm being a fuddy-duddy about it.
I don't think so. I mean, they definitely add a lot of nudity where it's just like, oh, this is how you know it's real, because they're getting naked.
Yeah.
And it's just like, a lot of, sometimes it's like, this is important to show that this guy's a sleazebag, but it's also just kind of like, oh, we get it. Like,
it seems inessential most of the time. Yeah. I know.
Because we never see the dude's dicks. It's always just like, look at this sexy girl.
Yeah, so if they were to like equalize the peen to front circles ratio in terms of nudity, and you saw as much peen as you did front circles, then I'd be like, yeah, I mean, nudity's all right, whatever. Like, is it helping tell your story? And if it's not, toss it. That goes for anything.
I think in a reboot of Gilmore Girls, it would totally be the sort of thing where penises are everywhere in the show, and the women are so rarely naked, just because of, like, it seems like they do everything generally opposite.
The opposite of what is the trend.
Right.
And then one of our last questions today, Nate Tryon at Potter Other P writes in and asks, Dean and Max, any similarities?
Not really. I think Dean's a bit more hot-headed. Max just seems like
a cool cat. Cool Italian greaser.
He seems emotional, but never emotional in the way that he's like quick to anger. He's just like, Lorelai, why don't you love me?
Deborah. Call back.
Oh, Raymond. Ooh. Max Medina.
Max Medina's nuts. I think they're both kind of written the same way in that their only value on the show is in relation to their girlfriend.
Right, which is fair.
So that, yeah, that's totally fair, because they're not the main characters. Our Gilmore Girls are. But otherwise, I'm trying to think of similarities. I feel like there's some we're not tuning into right now, maybe because we can't think about it straight, but I don't see any clear ones right now.
They both love books.
Yeah, they love books, baby.
They're both dating a Gilmore.
They are. So let's see what's itching in the mailbag.
What's itching in the mailbag?
I like that better than the last one we did.
Well, it was played. Like, it was pre-recorded, that one.
What's itching in the mailbag?
Yeah.
It wasn't. I sang that.
So this one is from Scott. He writes in, hey, Gilmore guys, longtime listener, first-time caller, where caller means emailer. Really loving the podcast. Though really, guys, it's too long. You've alluded to editing, and it honestly surprises me that even edited down, each episode is an hour plus.
You're going to love one of our latest episodes.
Yeah. That's already come out by this point.
Yeah. You're going to love the episode you already heard.
That one with Allie. That'll be right up your alley, Scott. I've thought about writing in before and haven't, but I'm listening to your episode on 113, 114, and you were just going through the mailbag. I've got to show my support for Katie from Texas. Season 7 really is totally fine. I'd never seen the Gilmore Girls until it came to Netflix, and I just powered through all 153 episodes in 31 days of October. I must say, the final season absolutely doesn't dip down in quality. If you have a problem with anything, it should be season 7 and season 6. Season 6 is where really the tone changes from fun, witty comedy to melodrama. But if you're down with 6, you should be down with 7. Actually, 7 is better, I'd say. And its ending, which I won't include here for the sake of Demi, is Demi related to Demi Lovato? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, first names. That's how it happens.
That's right. Is a great resolution and a return to the series' original feminist leanings. I'm hoping that as you continue on with your show, you change your mind and cover season 7. Also, you should rap about me. Well, Scott, I think you might get your wish a little bit later in the show.
Your name is Scott, and you're here to say you contribute to the mailbag in a great, great way.
Ooh, shit. So there you go, Scott. So again, another shout out for season 7 coverage, which is...
I think we're going to have to.
Dude.
The thing I love about season 7 is Kevin never finished season 7 entirely, so it would be both of us.
I saw an episode and a half. That would be interesting, right, for sure. I don't know, but it's just like, we'll get to it later. We'll get to it later.
Right.
So this one comes in from Nita, Netta?
Nita, Netta.
Nita, Nita, Netta, Netta, Nita.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. First of all, thank you for being the best part of my Monday and Wednesday morning. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Wednesday mornings. Y'all got me hooked on podcasts now, and I literally cannot drive anywhere without listening to a podcast of some guys. So I wanted to thank you for introducing me to the medium, which, if we've done anything, that's great. Podcasts are like
a joy.
I love podcasts more than movies. I think podcasts have more integrity to like whatever the intent of the person making them is,
right,
than movies almost every time. Like, it's such a pure form of communication.
It's weird. It's hard to have a podcast that is made, like, for profit, I think, is one big thing. Like, no one's ever like, podcasting, that's my job, and I'm a billionaire because of it, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
So it can't ever be motivated by anything except for, like, love and love for whatever it is you're talking about or doing. The other thing I wanted to mention, which is completely unrelated to anything, is that you guys wrapped my iTunes username in today's episode. The episode that came out that day.
Right.
Lion Meddled, which is actually a Macbeth reference. Then, in the subsequent Pop Goes to the Culture segment, there were like three Macbeth references in the episode.
There were.
Shakespeare nerd that I am, this was truly a splendid occurrence. So I guess if I could tack on a question onto that anecdote, it would be, who are both of your favorite Shakespeare characters? Keep up the fantastic work, Netta or Nita. So sorry for mispronouncing your name. Correct us on Twitter. P.S. Hashtag Swift for Gilmore.
Hashtag Swift for Gilmore.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Ooh, let's.
Before we answer her question about Shakespeare. Hashtag Swift for Gilmore was our shortly lived hashtag, or maybe it will live on. Actually, I have hope that we would go to the Taylor Swift concert that she's playing at the Staples Center next year in August. She's playing the 25th.
It's 9 months away.
The 26th. It's 9 months away, but you got to plan for this stuff, bro. So we were like, okay, we'll get tickets and then we'll go. And like, we'll try to get Taylor Swift time. And there's probably no way we could. That'd be amazing if we could, but probably not.
In a world where that happens.
In a world where that happens.
In a world where that happens. That's insane.
Yeah. Or it would just be fun to talk about one of the episodes with the Taylor Swift concert that just so happens to be in the background.
Oh my God, we should do a podcast from the show.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
that
okay.
was really my idea
okay.
behind it is like, when we're Rory, not going to get...
When Rory does
yeah.
the...
Trouble, and that's just in the yeah. background. That'd be really cool. So we might still do it, but we did not. But tickets went on sale a couple days ago. We didn't get tickets because they're so freaking expensive. It's crazy. For nosebleeds, it was $40 plus fees. So Staples is really big, and we figure maybe one or two things. Maybe a very kind fan will share.
No,
that probably won't happen. But maybe we'll like try to get tickets the day of the show. Maybe it'll be under face value because like that happens sometimes. And we don't care about like, oh, I'm in the pit. That'd be amazing, but we won't be in the pit. But you know, maybe we'll just do
I'm gonna crowd surf to blank space.
That'd be amazing. I got a blank space, baby.
I've only heard the song once. I couldn't sing a part of it.
Never mind. Okay, who are your favorite Shakespeare characters? I'll say Polonius because I played him in Lit.
It's weird. I hate these characters. Okay, so I like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, mm-hmm. but I hate Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think they're annoying in the like tone in Hamlet. I think they're kind of annoying sometimes, but I also think they're the characters that make me really enjoy Hamlet. And like, there's so many Shakespeare works that I enjoy, but it's like for these characters to single hand, like if they weren't in the story, I'd be like, this sucks. I hate this so much. Because
mm-hmm.
like the whole, I accidentally killed this guy and his father's ghost is telling me to, like, it frustrated me so much when I read it in school. and then Rosencrantz and Guildenstern come out and they're just idiots.
They came out?
Yeah,
whoa,
they're gay.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't read the spinoff?
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are gay?
That wasn't, yeah.
By Tom, stop it. I'm going to cut that out.
Cut all of this out. No.
Here's the thing. We're itching in the mailbag right now. I've read two, and there's like 10 to go.
We can't do all of them. We should do like three an episode.
We should do three an episode. I'll pick better next time.
I feel like every episode has a part that's just us trying to figure out how to fix the show. Like, what should we do next time? All right.
Yeah, okay, let's read the last one. I'll pick.
We should pick from random from now on, but like
I will, because I'm going in chronological order.
Obviously, yeah, obviously, like we want to give everyone a chance to get their questions answered, and
right.
maybe we should just figure out what the best ones are ahead of time.
Or do like a bonus podcast where we do all of them.
Bonus.
Let's do one more, last one for this episode, but we'll come back to some more. This is from Heidi. She says, hey, Gilmore guys, wanted to let you know I've been listening and watching along from the start, and I'm a huge fan. Parentheses, though really, guys, episode 9 was to me what Magnolia was to Lorelai. In that she was like, she lost her mind.
Oh my God. I loved episode. Maybe it was just fun because we were involved in it, but
Yeah, we both thought that was...
Kevin did not. All right.
Like Kevin, I've been a lifelong fan. I grew up with Rory, and we were both 16 when the show started and went through high school and college together. It's interesting to rewatch the show for the umpteenth time now that I'm closer, much closer in age to Lorelai and can identify with her so much more. I love hearing your insight into the show as well as the thoughts of your guests. I did want to point out one fun fact you haven't mentioned that might answer another listener's question. Ooh, some mailbag crossover about Alexis's occasional speaking oddly. Alexis actually grew up in a Spanish-speaking household. Her father was raised in Argentina and her mother in Mexico. She only learned English as a second language in school. I've always taken any oddities in her speech as a result of this cultural and language difference. Keep up the good work. I want to hear some more predictions from Demi. Demi, real quick.
Yep.
Do you predict that you're going to have some more predictions?
In the crystal ball, I do believe.
All right. Well, that's one, Heidi. So, okay. So that answers that that listener's question. Because we actually didn't identify with that much. We didn't think she spoke that weirdly, did we?
No.
All right. So that's what's been itching in the mailbag.
What's itching in the mailbag? I forgot what the song sounded like the first time around.
We'll change it every time.
Yeah.
But first, we got to, before we get into the episode discussion, it's 15 minutes in. That's fine.
Oh my.
It's fine.
People
it's
are
going
to stop.
It's fine. No. This is what people want. They love us.
I don't know.
Maybe. iTunes reviews. You guys have been so amazing at giving us reviews. We're like, I don't want to talk about this without sound, like, it's weird to talk about, like, we're doing well and talk about numbers and shit, but like, we charted this week. We're in like the top 50 comedy podcasts this week. We're recording this the week of November 16th, and that's like such a huge, it was crazy. I sent a screenshot to Demi. There was at one point our podcast was next to Doug Loves Movies, which is kind of where we met,
yeah,
in a way.
That's how Kevin and I met.
That's how we like knew each other. So it's just so crazy to see like that was our origin story, and now we're doing something that's like right next to it. Not like we're anything as amazing as Doug Loves Movies is, but it's just so cool to see. So thank you guys for reviewing and telling your friends about it and retweeting and tweeting at us. You guys are rad. And to show you how rad you are, we want to keep up a promise that we made in previous episodes. We're going to rap about you.
Let's rap.
Let's drop this sick beat.
Let's get it, Kev. Woo! Are you... God.
Ha!
Yeah!
I thought this was a different gold dig.
Nah!
Guess not. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Amber Hernandez left us a review, and for that we want to say a thank you. Oh, T.H. Brogan, that's our friend Taylor. She is super nice to review this, and we'll thank you later. Oh,
Jen A. Lifel, you're our survival. When you give us nice reviews like Fievel Goes West, good movie. That's a good review.
Woo.
Hey, Shirley Cakes, we're gonna talk about you. Shirley Cakes, thank you for giving us some kind words. We love you so much, so much. Like Rushkita Bonita.
Oh, Bonita, that means beautiful in Spanish. That's what your review was. And it wasn't in Spanish. But you know who's great? Mekit or Mekit. Just want to say thank you to you. And hey, yo, Feckit.
Aim, A-I-M-M-A-I-M-M.
Aim.
Thanks for your review. You are so nice. You're sweet as sugar
and hot as spice.
One more review to talk about.
Woo-hoo.
This one, not so kind.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It's from a guy or a girl named Joseph Fish.
Fish.
But hey, we don't mind. Cause yeah, we're Gilmore guys. We got
Gilmore guys.
Thighs. We tell lies. Just kidding, that's a lie.
Lies.
Hey guys, come on over. And we'll have hot cocoa and talk all night. Red Rover.
Whoa, cut it. Hot track.
I don't know what Red Rover is supposed to indicate.
This is a mess. We did so well the last time.
I listened back. We were all right. I thought the first rap was better. I thought the second rap was all right for me, dog. And I thought this one was
all right for me, dog.
Was a masterpiece.
We gotta start including a time code for people to be like, all right, if you don't want any of the shit, skip to this.
I think I might for this episode. We're 20 minutes in. It's been...
It's whatever. It's been...
20 minutes. Oh, God. Okay. So let's get into the episode discussion.
Well, we gotta address the elephant in the room.
What might be the last time.
It might be. You know, I'm kind of sick of it.
For the last 20 episodes, we have told you Alexis Bledel is going to be here.
And it feels so bad to not keep a promise.
Yeah, and you know, like, we never want to make promises we can't keep, and we don't, like, want to lead you on as fans. Like, to all the gillies out there, it would be cruel to expect Alexis on the show and then, like, oh, hey, she's not here.
Right.
And that's happened 20 times in a row.
20.
And we've had some amazing fill-in guests. Some people,
last minute,
some, you know, whatever people we call,
right, just whoever the fuck shows,
yeah,
up,
yeah, like dummies, like you know what, yeah,
let's just not even name it.
No, not worth it, because they're such filler, man.
Oh my god.
But
and we love them, we're glad they're on the show, but
no,
like,
we love them, they're amazing, but they were filler. And so Alexis said she would be here. She said, I'm going to be here for the finale. I love the finale.
She sent me a selfie of her driving.
Yeah, she sent a selfie to me of her watching the episode, and it was that shot where her and Dean are, like, going at it pretty hard in
right.
the Chilton, you know, town square, whatever the hell that's called. She's like, yeah, I can't wait to talk about it. And guess what, guys? She's not here.
She's not here.
So,
fuck that.
Am I supposed to finish that sentence?
No, I know. That was it. That was the end of the sentence.
Period.
Yeah,
okay.
Fuck that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, we're tired of it, guys. We don't want to yank you around, and we don't want to be yanked around, because we're better than that.
We
don't need that trash, right? Not that Alexis is trash. I'm saying the trash would be her canceling. It's just an unprofessional thing. So we're dropping it.
We're not inviting her back.
Alexis can come back if she wants to, and she might get in touch with us. We might talk to her at the ATX TV festival.
Who knows?
And we might confront her about all of this. But for now, Alexis is, we're not going to say she's on the next episode, because we're not going to go for it anymore.
Yeah.
If she wants to come on, she will. But for now, we're just going to let it be.
Right. Let it be.
Let it be. So, in lieu of that,
we have someone better.
Tom Hanks.
Tom
Hanks. He heard about us. He loves the show.
He loves the show.
He didn't. So he just, like, he didn't text me. He emailed me, because here's the secret: is like, most people, whatever their name is, that's their Gmail account. So, like, Tom Hanks is TomHanks@gmail.com.
Right.
You'd be shocked. For real. You'd be shocked at how many people it's just like, oh, yeah, TomHanks@gmail.com.
Right.
Like, and that's their email.
I emailed Obama once. It's literally just PresidentObama@gmail.
Which is crazy. It
should
be.
You'd think it would have been taken before.
.gov, at least.
Right.
So Tom Hanks said, yeah, guys, I love Gilmore Girls. I'm a family man. I'm an icon. And I'm going to do your show.
I was in the terminal.
Yeah. He was in the that's the thing. He was in the terminal.
And he told us that, too.
Yeah. And he did that funny voice he did in the terminal. He's like, oh, I'm Russian, kind of.
Is that a funny voice?
Yes. So, Mr. Hanks, T. Hanks, is going to be on the show in episode 201. We're going to have him on.
We're so excited. We are so excited for
this. He is confirmed.
He's 100% will be there.
We wrote him.
I will cut my arm off.
Which you promised to do in the last episode.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, but
if I cut it off now, I can't cut it off for the other one, so.
That's true. You know, that's airtight logic, so let's just go with that.
Right.
So, Tom Hanks, next step. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But before Tom Hanks, we got to do a little something that we call
Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Oh, shit. It's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
This episode has some weird pop culture moments that I do want to talk about.
So let's listen to them. This is Pop Goes the Culture, the last one for season one of Gilmore Girls. Let's savor this moment.
Oh, yeah.
This is a milestone. I've had to create 20 of these dumb supercuts, which I love. I actually love doing. I have, like, a weird brain like that. So this is Pop Goes the Culture, episode 121, Love, Daisies, and Troubadours.
The frickin' Blue Man Group is outside our house!
You swear? On the life of the lead singer of Blur?
On the soul of Nico.
The Stretch Cunningham guy?
No, the Dick Tracy guy.
You've been mopey-dopey about 12 other melancholy dwarves for the past 5 weeks, so I've decided I'm now completely into Judy Garland. Did you see the TV movie? Pretty intense.
I think they used my mother's medicine cabinet in that.
She was the Courtney Love of her day.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
John Muir.
The Unabomber.
Henry David Thoreau.
No, my insane mother, Margot Kidder Gilmore, woke me up.
Cheerleader material, just like that. I couldn't believe it. I almost went full Matrix on her.
It may be more successful than Peter Frampton's.
Okay, well, did you date, like, casual nothing-type dating, or did you date, like, get-down Soul Train kind of a dating?
Oh, no, not this Virgin Mary thing again. Not virgin. Typhoid.
Ceasing work on the Winchester Mystery House here.
My job well done, Mr. Adolf Eichmann.
What was that last one?
Okay, so this is what we need to talk about. So Kirk delivers the thing. He says, I don't question the orders. I merely follow them. Michelle says, a job well done, Mr. Adolf Eichmann. During this like super touching moment in the show. Do you know who Adolf Eichmann is?
I don't.
Adolf Eichmann was a Nazi officer who implemented orders resulting in the deaths of thousands in German concentration camps.
What? A reference.
So, welcome to the Holocaust.
No,
by the way.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was. No, fuck off. He's laughing like a maniac.
Oh, shit. I forgot to say it.
I know. I love when you forget to say it.
I forgot to say it in the last two episodes.
I'm glad.
And I don't want glorious.
Our guests. I don't want our guests being like, what is this?
Yeah, I don't do that on purpose, by the way. I just literally forget to around the guests. Mm. But yeah, a bummer reference, right?
Really weird bummer reference. And what is a lovely shot?
But, okay, here's the thing. According to this, his defense at his trial for war crimes was that he was just following orders. So I guess that's what...
Right.
But still, to suggest
that like delivering flowers is as bad as murdering thousands...
Yeah, not quite the same. Michelle equating those two things is a little much. A little much.
There's so much stuff to talk about with the flowers stuff, but we'll get to it in a bit.
Any other references we didn't get?
Not that I remember. The Ennui one doesn't really count. Right.
There was another one where Lorelai said, did you date casually or did you date like...
Get down Soul Train.
Get down Soul
Train. Yeah, that was in there. That's a weird thing, and it was weird for Max to be like, well, if we're being honest, it was the latter.
Yeah, I did Soul Train.
Hell yeah, we got down.
Like, Max, take it easy.
Yeah, really.
Be transparent, be honest with your lady, but...
It was just a bad moment for that.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying don't tell her, like, yeah, I was with other women. Definitely tell her that, but don't say, yeah, it was Soul Train.
Hell yeah,
just
dude.
That's just such a strange thing to affirm.
One way stop, one way no stop to Bone Town.
Bone Zone.
Bone
Town. Pound Town, USA.
Pound Town, USA. Population, you and me.
By the way, here's one thing before I'm skipping ahead or skipping behind, whatever. But on Twitter, one of the things I'm most proud of and I think is one of the biggest accomplishments on our show is that several people have written in and said, I can't listen to the Gilmore Girls theme song right now without hearing or saying, choo choo. After the I'll be there on the next train lyric. I am
choo choo.
If that's my legacy, if that's the greatest thing I do in my life.
Here lies Kevin Choo Choo Porter.
Morgan.
Hello. Tom couldn't make it, but I'm here.
Ooh, even better.
For the entire episode.
And I'm here.
No!
Too.
No. Get out of here, Melissa.
What? I haven't been on here in such a long time.
We locked the door specifically to keep you out.
Yay, I can't be tamed, man.
You sound like Miss Piggy. No.
Bye.
Thank you for stopping by, Mrs. What's her name?
McCarthy.
I'm sorry. McCarthy.
Okay, the Netflix synopsis for this is bullshit. It's not good. Rory finally tells Dean that she loves him. Okay, great. I'm a new viewer that's never seen this show before.
Right.
I'm going through it, and I see that. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Netflix. Rachel sends... Okay, so Rory finally tells Dean that she loves him. Rachel senses that Lorelai and Luke are attracted and leaves town rather than pursue Luke anymore. This is like a sixth grader wrote this.
Right.
Like, it's so... Even the sentence construction is weird. Not about it.
It's literally, here's what happens that you want to watch the episode to see if it's going to happen. Here's the spoiler.
Let's rewrite, like, listen, we're writers, kind of. You're more of a writer than I am.
I have written words.
We have, we've written down. We're writers. We're poets, baby. Come on, baby. let's rewrite this right now. Okay, so Rory finally tells Dean that she loves him. Rory and Dean have a meaningful conversation. Like, there's so many ways to mask that and make it vaguer and spoiler-free and safer.
Rory works up the courage to confront Dean. Lorelai and Max have a conversation about where the relationship
about
is
their
headed.
Future. Boom,
did
done.
It. We did it.
Miss
Patty
Lennon.
Appears.
She does.
We've been getting less and less Miss Patty lately, and I'm missing
And it. I'm more and more upset about that.
Yeah.
Because why?
Rory!
Rory!
Rory! Rory!
That's never happened before.
Oh my god.
Let's try it again.
Rory!
Let's try it one more time.
Try a plum, they're better than sex.
Yeah.
Rory! You yeah, gotta try are. A plum.
Oh, dang. So this, let's talk about this. You know what? Let's talk about in broad strokes. Different Gary Coleman, R.I.P. Demi?
Yep.
What's your thoughts on this episode in the general?
I fucking hate this episode. I'm so sorry. I hate this episode.
Is this the first episode
you've
hated?
This is the first episode I've hated. And I hate that this is the finale. I think that's what makes it the worst, that it's the finale and so many things go wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into it. Let's not
why
do
does
act
every,
one, act two.
Why does every guy in Lorelai's life want to propose to her immediately?
That's true.
Why?
Christopher's like, marry me in the kitchen. And Max...
And also, they don't go, like, grand with it. They're just like, we gotta get married. That's the way to do it.
It is like a weird... Yeah, Max said that, too. It's like a weird solution. Like, well, I guess we get married? I don't know.
That's so the dumb. Least, like, logical way to do it. Like, they're getting married as a solution to their problems.
Okay,
God.
So that's a big problem for you.
Yeah. And also, just everything with Rory and Dean. Rory, this is the first time she's not at least a little bit level-headed about this breakup. Because, like, it starts off with her being like, oh, I don't want to confront the fact that I'm sad about this. And then she has a breakdown, and then she's still like, I'm getting over it, but it's still sad. In this episode, she's full-on crazy ex-girlfriend going to the house pretending that she doesn't, like,
that was
CD.
Upsetting.
That was so upsetting.
With the sweet little sister. She
imagine,
makes cry.
Imagine coming out to your door, watching some girl or some figure run away and being like, are you okay? It's like, the lady made me cry. Who? The lady in your photos. Then you're like, holy shit, I'm like, my family is not safe
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we have to move.
We have to. Also, Dean has a surprisingly nice house.
Yeah, because it's the same, like, WB lot. It's probably like a foot away from Luke's.
Oh, I'm sure, but it's
out.
Like, what
I
a
mean,
nice,
yeah, it's
what a huge house.
Dean's mommy and daddy are doing all right.
They're Jeffrey and Tabitha Hollow. They own the city.
Jeffrey and Tabitha Hollow. And they're stars, baby.
They are.
The stars are out tonight.
But like, they're so, even there's a moment where it's like we learn that Dean has a box of Rory stuff just like she had a box of Dean stuff. And it's revealed in this tense moment of Dean being like, I can't believe you do this, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and like the picture in my Rory box. And she like arms behind her back like a schoolgirl, like she's twirling her foot on the ground, goes, you have a Rory box? And she's like, ugh, no.
This is the, unfortunately, and with the ending too, I mean, with the ending, it ends, so like, we're skipping around. Max proposes, and then Lorelai goes to Luke, and she's like, where's Rory? Where's Rory? And then they see each other in town square, and they, like, run to each other, and it's just, like, epic shot. It's like a Steadicam.
Like Chariots of Fire
style. Yeah, like, that's Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, this huge crane shot, and they're, like, hugging, and they're like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. They're getting excited about, I mean, I guess it's okay. Relationships are fine, but I just think, like, they're getting excited about these dudes. Like, oh, a man loves me.
Yes.
So there's that, which is like, it's good or bad.
It's weird that they... I mean, I understand that a big point of the previous episode was the fight that Lorelai doesn't tell Rory anything. So she probably... I understand her being excited to share that. But it's just this
weird,
like...
Okay, that's good.
Like,
that's a good point, actually.
Running to each other, like, cutting back and forth, like, this is the biggest news.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's cheesy and it doesn't feel sincere to me.
And it's oddly cinematic of the show. It's just those, like, really fast Steadicam shots. I'm like, this isn't the language. Don't do that.
One shot.
Which is interesting, though, because you know who directed this?
Who?
Amy.
Really?
This is the first episode she directed. So Daniel wrote it, and Amy directed it. So maybe...
I imagine her wanting it to be cinematic. Like, if it's, like, the finale and she's directing it. Did she direct the pilot?
She did not. That was Leslie Linka-Glater. Okay. Glatter. But Amy directed the finale. Yeah, and she directs more and more episodes as her show goes on.
Right.
She generally directs premieres and finales from here on out.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like most shows do.
Yeah. Checks out.
But there are some really good shots in this. Is it Daisies? The flowers?
Uh-huh.
In
Love
the Daisies.
Daisies and Troubadours, yeah.
In the Daisy shot, it's so beautiful. Despite the fact that I hate that it happened, it's so beautifully shot. Like, it's she walked into the center of the room with all the daisies, and you spin around and see all the daisies, and you realize, holy shit, there are so many daisies there. But the thing that I just realized, and we just watched the last 5 minutes or so again before recording this, and the thing that I realized is that he says, like, he had the thoughts this morning. So that's like a 3 hour period from him going like, I gotta propose, to somehow getting 1,000 daisies into her fucking like office.
It's pretty crazy.
How does he do that? How does he not think this is crazy? How does Kirk deliver? What is Kirk? Kirk's job changes like every episode, but it's just
which
great.
Yeah,
which is like the gag, but
which is funny, and it's a gag that pays off later. Yeah. I will say that.
Sure.
They do play to the reality of it. There was a great article in Entertainment Weekly all about this scene.
Really?
That just came out like a month ago. Yeah. If you guys want to look it up, it's called 5 Minute Oral History, The 1,000 Yellow Daisy Scene in Gilmore Girls. Sherman Palladino says, we had no money on Gilmore, especially that first year. We were trying to trade sexual favors for snow. Sherman Palladino says, once we started playing with the camera angles, I had crew guys that looked like they had just murdered their family on a freeway yelling from the rafters saying, you've got to shoot from up here. It's gorgeous. Suddenly, everyone's a florist. People, I love the way she talks, by the way. She is Lorelai. That's just who she is.
Yeah.
It sounds like people who got really into how we shot it, the romance of it, and the look. It was quite a lovely picture, and everywhere you put the camera, it was pretty. For Lauren, might have been one of her favorite scenes because it was one of the few times she didn't have to say anything. She also says, 1,000 yellow daisies actually sounds like a lot, but when you put 1,000 yellow daisies in a big room like our set, it's kind of like a table arrangement. 3 or 4 times we had to send people back to get yellow daisies. I think we wiped out yellow daisies on the West Coast. The great thing about the Gilmore crew was that they knew we were sticklers for what was in the script. So they showed up with 1,000 yellow daisies. It was my first time directing. I walk in the room. It's like, really? I'm like, we have to fill the whole room. The whole point is that she walks in a room full of daisies of yellow and beauty. So it sounds like they cheated. They definitely got more than 1,000.
Right.
I think it ended up being 4,000 or 5,000.
Oh, my God.
Because it is.
It definitely, I was about to say, it looks like more than 1,000. Because one of those bundles looks like it's probably 100. And I was like, there's no way.
So Max Mendeesnuts was really lowballing it. Yeah. Or maybe he's just not good at math. He's good at Shakespeare, but
it's like
not
that,
math.
It's like that scene in Dodgeball where it's like $5,000 or $50,000 and they open the briefcase and it's just like a few bundles. Like, that's what it really looks like.
That's a really great scene. I love playing to the reality of that. That's
yeah.
So freaking funny. But yeah, that's I butchered some of the quotes. But go and read that oral history. It's really interesting to read after watching the scene. But yeah, that was a nice moment. Lauren Graham's amazing, but she is such a good, this is going to be weird to say, she's a good crier. Like when she cries, I'm like,
yeah.
Like it really, and it doesn't seem fake. Like she just has the right amount of touch to it where it's like, this is very affecting and this is very, she communicated everything Lorelai was feeling without saying anything.
I think
it
especially works because Lorelai is like the most, like, I don't want to say solid emotionally, but like she's the most, like, if something's happening, she's still like so sarcastic about it that it's almost like she's putting up a wall. So if she's crying, something real has happened, like something really affecting has gotten to her.
Here's the one flaw of the scene as I see it. Why isn't Max there?
No, yeah, that was my question too. What is he doing?
Like,
he's not at school.
He's like, oh, I got to grade papers. Or is it like, yeah, he's not at school. The interior is his apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Why would you not want to be the unless it's like, well, I know Lorelai might not say yes. And they don't show the end of it.
He's like, I want to be able to cry in my apartment.
Yeah, like, what's the end of that phone conversation? Is she just like, oh, thanks.
I'll see you later, Max.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Right?
Thanks for the bye.
So hi. Fitz and Olivia. So that was weird. But, like, just go show up. Like, hide in the flowers. Be like, surprise.
Well, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting for when they turn around all the way, like, for him to be on the very last frame or something.
Yeah. Okay, so what else did you hate about the episode in general? Because I liked
it. It was mostly just the finale stuff. Of, like, because this is supposed to be, like, the capping of so many things and, like, an introduction.
The culmination. The climax. Yeah.
And everything that it culminated in was so upsetting. Mm-hmm. To borrow how did this get made phrase, it was very upsetting. Setting.
June, come on the show.
June, please come on the show. We love you.
We're working on it. We'll see. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com. I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
But also, the thing with Dean that I hated, I hate some of it just is stuff that, like, is good that it happened, but it made me mad. Or, like, it's not bad that it happened because it's a thing that could happen, but, like, I hate Tristan ruining Paris and Rory's relationship so much. I hate him getting in the way, and I hate Rory not being able to be like, no, he's a liar. Are you fucking serious? Of course he's an asshole.
That was my note, too.
I was so frustrated about that because, like, of course Rory would not go to a PJ. What, in what world has she done anything that would suggest that she might do that? And also, I hated him stealing the books and being like, all right, will you get these back when you go to the concert? Like, that's... this is all like such a skeevy, like shitty dude move.
He seemed so reasonable in the last episode you saw.
Right.
It was like, okay, you're not a weird monster. Like, I mean, you're
damaged,
are kind of, but you're functional.
Right.
And this, he seemed like sociopathic.
Oh my God.
And bad. And it's like, yeah, again, like our complaint the last episode was like, man, these beautiful, awesome women like Rachel and Lorelai over Luke. And the same thing. It's like Paris and Rory, who have so much like amazing futures ahead of them. It's over Chad Michael Mudface.
Oh,
not like
God.
Rory's pining over him, but
right,
that
like,
is the obstacle. It's like this piece of shit coming between these like rad
girls. He's a huge piece of shit. Like, I can't overstate how much of a shitbag this dude is.
Is he on the show again after this?
I don't. I doubt it because of One Tree Hill, but like, I don't want to see him again. I hope him putting down the books was him putting down the books on his appearance.
Scripts.
Yeah.
Him putting down the script, and he never again shall Tristan.
Dad, I hate this town. I'm going to One Tree Hill. I don't want to be anything.
He's in one more episode.
Fuck.
I'm not going to tell you which one or
when
it
is. The one where he dies. The one where he dies. The one where he dies.
By the way, for me being like the pitch being, I'm a super fan, I'm like, what happened? Guys, there's a lot of episodes.
There's like 150 something, right?
Give me a break.
Anyway.
By the way, if you want to see him in the Omega Code 2.
Ooh, I do.
Check that shit out.
But I hated that. I hated when Rory meets up with Dean at the end. Like, why does he think that they'd be together? He knows that she hates that guy. Like, when Dean sees...
It's unreasonable. But I do see, like, when... that's happened to me before, where it's like, my mind will make leaps, so I make, like, a narrative in my head where it's like, oh, this is against me. Like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Right. But also, just the weird... she's like, I love you, you idiot! And then he turns around, and there's that fucking music cue. I hated the music cue.
Yeah, I hated
so
it, too.
So much.
I did, too.
And is then that, she runs I, and, like, attacks...
Here's
or
the
he
thing.
Runs and attacks
I think that music cue... If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, don't be a song of a person I should like.
It's
if
Bruce
you're
Springsteen.
Not mistaken. Oh, Bruce.
Oh, no, not Bruce. No, I think it's a PJ Harvey song.
Ugh.
I think it is, because they're like, PJ Harvey, PJ Harvey, PJ Harvey.
Still, it's too strong.
I think it is.
For a show that literally like lives on these subtle la-las, for you to come in and just be like, I was just like, what?
Yeah, I know. I just... Put a Sam Phillips cue there. It's always
right.
It's always gonna be more
if you
for my money.
Anything,
it's gonna be more effective.
There should have just been like a what? I love you. You love me. I love you. You love me. Kiss. That would have been so much subtler. But for him to like turn around, and go like his
what?
Eyes bug out of his head. Yeah, like what? And then just like kiss her. It didn't feel true to life.
And their kiss was violent.
It was. He was angry.
Violent.
He was so mad during the kiss. Just like, yeah, we're back together, but you still wronged me, which she really didn't. You know what else I hated? I keep forgetting things I hate. The town hall meeting. Okay,
oh,
first
the
of
town
all,
meeting.
First of all, I hate...
I think they're called town meeting. I think I called them town hall meetings on accident one time, but I think they're just the
town
meeting.
Meeting.
Yeah.
So it's either town hall or town meeting.
Yeah.
But anyway,
whatever.
I hated the troubadour subplot. Has nothing to do with anything. It's just kind of a fun gag. And it's just like, who cares about this? Like,
yeah.
The entire time I was just like, this isn't a real argument. If that guy, like, how small is this town that there can't be two people playing guitars? You don't own playing guitar on the street. You can't legally make it this one guy's thing.
But you know what, dude? They come together at the end.
That's what the thing. Like, he sees the other guy walking away sad, and then he's just like, you know what? Come on. Come over here.
David Gruber Allen's like, all right, bro.
By the way, I love David Gruber Allen so much.
Yeah.
Come on the show.
He's
But it's just so weird for that to be a sub. Is that Grant Lee Phillips?
That's Grant Lee Phillips.
Okay.
Who I like.
Yeah, I like.
In general.
I like. But it was just weird for that moment. That C plot was so strange and unnecessary, and it didn't feed into anything. And I thought maybe it would, but it was just.
It was frustrating because it wasn't. If it was something with like Babette, I'd be all for it.
If it was something with an existing character,
with
but
Patty,
it was like.
It's like, hey, it was like deconstructing the mystique of something that wasn't established enough to be like, oh, this is so interesting, man. Like, it was just like, oh. Here's the funny thing. I work at Kinko's. I did think the Kinko's line was funny.
The Kinko's line was funny.
Yeah.
There were some funny lines, but all like together, it was just like, it just seemed like Grant Lee Phillips' character was like whiny for.
And there was. You made a joke about this in an episode before, But you were like, it would be funny if like the town troubadour was like, and then Rory went to the store and something borderline to that happen.
What is he saying?
Is when where I think it's Rory or Lorelai, I don't know. She passes the troubadour. And he's like, honey, don't think about it too long. Like, he's literally singing, like, hey, it's going to be okay. Right. Just two on the nose. Just pull it back a little bit, guys. Just play the reality
I want them to lean more into it. Just like, I know that there are cameos by other bands later, like Sonic Youth, and I just imagine them singing,
the
like,
The Shins, yeah.
Ah, if Rory were not with Dean, then they'd be good. Like,
oh, my gosh. Oh, you know what else threw me off in this episode? Taylor's back, but in his first scene,
no, different, Bart, yeah, man. different clothing,
dude.
Also, I wrote down, we see a close-up of the bag that they sell at Dosey's, and it's D-O-O-S-E. How is that Dosey? It's two O's. Phonetically, that's Deucey.
Sorry, dude, it's like GIF and JIF.
I know, but it just frustrates me, because like if you look at it, it's like there's no other way to pronounce it.
You're not going to win this fight, Demi.
I know, but I'm just going to tell you guys, I'm going to start saying Deucey, and you just have to accept that.
Like Steve Deucey from Fox News.
Exactly. Okay, the last thing that I hated, I'm sure it won't be, because we'll talk more about it, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that sucked. When Rory stands up in the town hall meeting to subtly to do that thing, to yell.
I agree.
That was the most hackneyed. Like,
it was a rom-com.
Because sometimes you have something you need to say, but you can't because the words won't come out, or you get scared, or you feel stupid. So if you could write a song and sing it, then you could say what you need to say, and it would be beautiful, and people would listen, and you wouldn't make a complete idiot out of yourself. But all of us can't be songwriters, so some of us will never be able to say what we're thinking or what we want other people to know that we're thinking, so we'll never get the chance to make things right again, ever.
Yeah, it was clear that they had forced that subplot in to be like, sometimes you can't express your feelings, and you gotta do it through a song. And I was just like, shut up.
Yeah, that was not.
I was so mad.
I agree 100%.
I cannot
that.
Believe that they did that. Like, the writing up in this show up until this episode has honestly been like really good for a show in the 2000s. And I don't know if it feels cheesy. Like, maybe they did this and then it became a trope. I don't believe that, but I can see that happening. But it's like, to see this happen.
No, this happened before.
That's what I'm thinking. Definitely. Like, there's no way. It's whenever I look at something that's happened like ages ago, I have to think of it with the lens of, oh, maybe they started this. But obviously, that's not the case.
No, this was still 13 years ago. Yeah,
right.
It's not like, they were not far enough back.
But God, that was an awful moment in what could have been a lovely finale.
It rang so hollow.
Uh-huh.
Stars hollow. The Holocast. Luke, we're just skipping all around. I don't care about doing it chronologically anymore.
Welcome to the finale. Who fucking cares?
Welcome to the finale. We're checked out. This is the third episode we've recorded today. Demi and I are a little tired.
Not me. I've been drinking 5-hour energies.
Kevin's a little tired. Daddy needs his Z's. His Z's. Not...
Did somebody say his Z's?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We all have a Z's impression.
Who's ready to talk Gilmore Girls? I want to talk about Lorelai. Dance! All right, I'll stop.
Okay, so, well, let's talk about the scene that happens after that town hall scene.
Mm-hmm.
Luke comes back after the town... I keep calling it town hall. It's just a town meeting. I just slapped myself. And Rachel's like, this is done, that's done. I put the ketchup bottles up. Finally, I got a hold of those ketchup bottles.
Oh my God, yeah. It took me a whole episode, but I did it.
Yeah, and so she's like, this is good. And then she pulls her bags from behind the counter. She's like, all right. Like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
My question is, how long were those bags there?
Yeah.
Like, did she Luke have to not... step over them every time she was, like, cleaning the counter and shit?
Did Luke not, like, know they were there, too? Was he just like, oh, the reality is setting in of this. I didn't realize you were leaving.
Yeah, and he's such an idiot in this scene.
Yeah.
He's not winning a lot of points for me in this episode. He says, you know... Because she's like, no, you're like into Lorelai. It's pretty clear. You're not just... And he's like, she and I are just friends.
He doesn't try.
What do you have to gain by saying that at this point? She's leaving. You know she's like, world traveler, and I'm going to go and kind of be
right,
transient.
Right, she's going, dude.
So it's like, just have an honest moment with someone, or at least yourself, and say, you saying she and I are just friends? No, dummy.
How powerful would it have been for him to admit that he likes Lorelai and then to go to her house and then see him... See her with Max, and that just like destroys him. We come back to season two, and he's an emotional wreck. And Lorelai and Max are like together, and like he's kind of off-putting to Lorelai because of it, and then when they break up, like, it's a thing. I don't know.
That would be better.
Right. But as instead,
I mean,
like,
the show is very good. Let me,
yeah,
like,
we're
clarify.
Not. It's this episode is.
We're not the Paladinos.
No,
we're not Amy. We're not.
If I wrote this show, it would be a train wreck. I'd have to kill off Rory by the third episode just to keep it exciting.
Let's do a quick improvised version of what this show would be if Demi wrote it.
All right.
Interior, Luke's diner. Lorelai comes in, sits down at the counter.
Ah, I love coffee. Do you have any of that?
Luke replies,
"No, no coffee today."
Rory chimes in,
"I love Dean."
Dean chimes in,
"Ugh, not as good as Tolstoy's. Not that good."
And then Kirk rounds it out by saying,
"I have asthma."
The end.
The end.
So that's what it would be like if Demi wrote it.
Curtains roll on snare drums.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so let's be glad I didn't write this, but also let's maybe be upset that someone didn't write this better.
A little Boom. Bit.
It's really just this episode. I'm being harsh on this episode alone because there's so many things that I feel like...
Here's the thing. I was reading the interesting thing about how, like, for binge watching and when you like a TV show, you like all of it pretty indiscriminately. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I binged Friends in like one summer. I wasn't like done in a month or something. It wasn't even that crazy.
Right.
It was like over the course of 3 or 4 months. I binged it. And to me, every episode felt like, oh, this was roughly the same good quality.
Yeah.
But I think when you love a show, and I definitely love this show. Would you say you love this show?
You know what's weird? If there's like a level between like and love, I think I'm there. Because love mm-hmm. this show means like I go home and I'm just like, I want to watch it now.
Yeah.
But it always gets to the point where it's like, when I finally have to watch it, I'm just like, all right, I got to trudge through a few of these. And then when I'm done with it and we talk about it, that's the moment when I want to watch them more.
That's
but like, I don't get until that point.
Well, I think with us too, it's hard. It's a little different because your first time watching it, you're taking notes.
Right.
You know, so, I think so it does kind of feel like work. But, back to like binging and when everything feels like the same level of quality, that occurs when you're just, you're taking everything in passively, and that's when you like a show. But I think if you love a show or you want to like put some amount of investment in it,
you can
discern that's a great episode. That's a bad episode.
Right.
And because I love this show, I can discern the difference because that means I expect this level of quality from it, and when it lets me down, I know, and I know the weaknesses of it, and I know the weaknesses of the people
right.
who make the show. I know the weaknesses. Like,
I know how to destroy you.
I know Amy Sherman has a bad tendon in her
wrist. I've got a ton of kryptonite. You're going down.
Yeah, that's right. But I think for us to be, because there's like a lot of criticism in this episode, I think that only speaks to a deeper abiding, for me, love for Demi, somewhere between like and love of this show.
Like.
Yeah, you like this
I like
show.
Like this show.
Did you? I mean, maybe I just glazed over when you said if you did or not. But I did like when Rory says, "Because I love you, you idiot." It was like the right amount of teen angst. It felt right.
It didn't feel with the original, like with Rory. It
Rory.
Felt right. Rory. I think it felt right for Rory, but it didn't feel right for Rory in that moment because she got so googly eyed and like, "Oh, Dean, I miss him. I'm gonna go to his house. I'm gonna stalk him." Like, if in that moment it felt like she should have just said, "I love you," and that would have been it. But the "because I love you, you idiot" feels like angst that Rory has, not this weird alien version of Rory.
That's true. So
that
the
so
it was the moments leading up to that moment that made it like settle down, girl.
In that moment, like she's like, "Stop," he says, "Why?" And you know the next words are gonna be, "Because I love you."
Yeah.
But the "you idiot" didn't work for me only because of the moments,
because of the crazy town moments before that. I understand.
You have a Rory box.
Well, and Rory had a Dean box,
yeah, which
and
makes
she,
sense.
She takes down, she pulls stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things she pulls out of it,
what does she pull, Kevin?
Nice chicken.
Yeah. What was that again?
What was what?
What'd she pull out of the box?
Oh, she pulled
nice
a...
Nice chicken.
What was it?
She got a... Why is this...
Nice chicken.
What did she pull? I can't...
Nice chicken.
Nice. I love that.
Nice chicken.
Yeah.
I gotta do a soundboard. This is so clunky.
I shall die soon, you know.
Oh, Trix. Can't wait for Trix to come back.
Does Trix come back?
I told you Trix comes back.
Oh, soon, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope she's like in the middle of every season and she just drops a bunch of one-liners and heads out.
She's in season 2. Here's my one word spoiler that's not really a spoiler. Tracksuit. The fans are going to know what I'm talking about.
Wait, are you talking about tricks? No.
But it's not what you think it is. You'll see.
I don't
we'll
care.
See when you get there.
I'm just imagining Trix wearing a track. Like, she joins Run DMC.
I don't know, man.
I would love to see Trix move to New York and just open up her own store in Bed-Stuy, and she just has a cardboard thing out front where she just break dances. That's my dream for Trix. She's pulling tricks.
How'd you like it when Madeline, Louise, and Paris said, it's going to be a fun summer, and then pose like a Mean Girls promo art?
Here's the thing. I don't like Madeline and Louise at all because they're so one note, and they feel like... like Aristocats in that, not aristocrats. I'm being very specific.
Right.
Aristocats.
Yeah,
in
everybody
that they
wants
have
to be
like this weird like voice they talk in and just like one smirky face. And it just feels like these characters are supposed to be like sometimes they're friends with Rory and sometimes they hate Rory. And it seems totally like arbitrary as to when they are each.
I wouldn't say it's arbitrary because I do think it is dictated by Paris's mood towards her because it's only now that Paris is like, oh, Chad Michael Mudface, and Louise have turned.
Right. In the scene where, I don't know. Okay, so two moments I'm thinking of. When they go to the concert, they're like, you're not cool because you're not letting us do this. And Paris is like, huh, I'm all on her side. Like, I don't like you guys right now. And then there's the scene where Rory is daydreaming about Dean in class, and Medina calls her out, and they're like, they tap each other on the shoulder and go, look, and just give that smirk, like, look at the idiot over there. But it's really like, you're still friends with her. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have a read on them. I think they're very one note, and I don't like them. But it's weird that they're also, I feel like Paris doesn't like them. I don't know why she's such close. She has no good words.
I think Paris doesn't like them. And
yeah.
I think, I wonder, I can't
does
remember.
Does Paris like anyone?
That.
Oh, you know what's sad
does
in
Paris
this episode?
Like herself?
When, does Paris like herself? What's sad in this episode is that, like, the school editor thing, when she's like, yeah, I got the school editor job, and it's like, you know who I gave the music position? You would have been great for Louise. Louise has two CDs. Yeah. And it's all based on this bitterness, based on a thing that was made
on
up.
On Mudface telling a lie.
I got so mad.
When there's sometimes when conflict is interesting to watch and it's like fun and compelling, and then there's sometimes like at this point, it's just frustrating to watch.
You know what I think really made me hate it? I put myself in the point of view of someone watching this and it being the finale and having to wait like 7 months to see a conclusion.
Yeah.
And realizing that not only did Chad Michael Mudface fuck up a relationship that was just getting good, but then Paris, out of rage, fucks up that relationship further, and now we have to wait 7 months for it to be fixed even a little, when it's just a simple, oh, no, that's not what happened. He's lying because he likes me. I don't like him. That's all she had to say. It probably would have been good. She set him up with Paris. She knows that there's nothing there.
It is. I feel like it's a disservice to the character of Paris.
It's such a
I think, truthfully, what would have been better is if the source of conflict was not Mudface related. If it was something else, if it was something academic or some sort of competitive other thing, the fact that it's Mudface really does cheapen the weight and gravity of it. If you want to end the season like that, fine. Like that they're at odds and oh, it's gonna be a crazy summer, blah blah blah.
Right.
But that it's about that is very frustrating.
It's not fun.
Let's wrap up episode discussion with this. Let's talk about that scene where Luke's talking to Rachel, and he's like, no, we're just friends, blah, blah, blah.
The one where he doesn't try.
Right, the one where he's like, eh. And she says, so don't wait too long, okay? To what? To tell her. And then he doesn't say anything. He doesn't deny it. So it's like, oh, yeah. So it's pretty much admission. Demi, how long do you think it takes for him to tell her? Because your first prediction was that it happens in this finale.
Yeah. And now my prediction is the next finale. I think it's a big moment. I think it's a finale moment.
It's a finale moment, okay.
And I think it's got to be, it can't be past season three. Because past season three, you're going, this is bullshit. I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah.
If it ends season finales with him going like, wait, Lorelai, what? What's up? Nothing. And then it's like, I would honestly just like,
da-da-da-da.
Right. And like she walks away and they pan out and it's a crane shot of him standing alone outside the, like I would hate that so much.
Yeah.
But I honestly think season two. I think they got to get to it soon. Even if it's the kind of thing where, like, he says, I love you, and she's just like, where is this coming from? And then they're like, and there's animosity between them for a season or something. I don't know. But I think something's got to give.
But that Lorelai is aware of Luke's feelings, season two finale, where he tells her or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Demi's prediction.
Can we also, I can't believe we didn't talk about the scene after that, where he goes to pick up his toolbox, Bert, and then there's this weird dick measuring contest between Medina and Luke of like, yeah, I come here sometimes, you know, fix things around the house. Yeah, I'm here a lot. Yeah, I give him coffee all the time.
Luke
what
is
the
like,
fuck, Luke?
Luke is on the autism spectrum in this scene.
What's
he's like,
happening?
I do a lot of nice things around here, too. Like,
everyone in this episode is a serial killer. Every person.
Yeah.
Rory is crazy. Luke is weird and has, like, these misery moments of, like, I'm around the house a lot. You should expect to see more of me. Like, it's all just makes me want to, like, just give everyone a pep talk of, like, you're doing some things that really are fucked up.
Yeah.
I want to just sit them all down and have like a character intervention. It's like, Luke,
a character intervention.
Smile a little bit more. Be honest with your feelings. Rory, calm down.
Hey.
Rory, calm down.
What I do like about that scene, though, is Lorelai says goodbye to the toolbox.
She does.
She's been personifying shit a lot in the last couple episodes.
I was wondering about that. Do you think she actually, like, is that just a quirky thing to say, or do you think it's a quirky thing that she might have done? Like, to go, well, it's like, oh, Bert over there, like, when Luke is not around, do you think that she jokingly still called it Bert? Or do you think that she was just like, in that moment, that's a funny joke?
I think she would do it if no one's around.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, I think people talk to themselves and, like, try to amuse themselves and make jokes. Yeah. I would be like, oh, Bert. And I'm trying to think. I think in the future of the show, there are moments where she's, like, talking to herself and making jokes and stuff.
Man.
I think. Well, so. So, end of that discussion. So, we're at the end of the season.
Oh, my God.
Should we rate the season as a whole? Comparing it to nothing.
I
but
think we
got
to rate the episode first, and then we have to rate the season.
We'll rate the episode first. I agree with you that there are things about it that were like...
Oh my God. We didn't even talk about our favorite lines, because we have to. Because my
favorite
lines...
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And pretty much the only service Suki gets in this episode,
really is,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Also, no Emily and Richard, which means not as good an episode as the best ones.
So basically, it starts by Michelle being so weird and like more distant than usual. Like... I've realized Michelle's eyes are never fully open, and that's his whole, like, I don't care about this job. But today, like, in this episode in particular, he's just, like, not even moving. He's like, I can't possibly do anything. I have ennui. And it's like, I think it was just to bring that in as a joke for Melissa McCarthy, because she comes in, like, when we go into the kitchen,
and
she also has ennui.
It. Yeah.
And then there's a moment where Lorelai is like, I don't feel that at all. And she says, what's the opposite of ennui? And Suki goes... Off we, and then drops this adorable sound bite.
Hey, I'm cured.
Yay, I'm cured.
That was my favorite moment.
I loved it so
the
much.
Episode. That was 100% my favorite moment.
So funny.
Yeah, so Melissa would love you.
So no, get out of here. Get out of here. Okay. We love you, but get out of here.
You got it.
But if you ever want to come on the show.
Yeah. Go on.
No.
Okay.
So let's rate the episode.
Let's rate the episode.
I think you're right. There's some shortcomings. There's some nice moments, but for me, the nice moment. Oh man, am I going to give this less than? I might have to give it 2.5. No, I've never given anything less than 3. But you know what? I'm going to do it. I think I have to be true. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5. Daisies.
1.5 out of 5 Souls of Nico.
Whoa.
1.5. That's 3 out of 10. This was that bad of an episode.
Wow.
From the very beginning, honestly. Like, the only things that save it for me are the adorable moment with Suki and...
Suki
now. And, I don't know. There were some nice... I was going to say there's some nice moments with Max, but not really.
I'm liking him less and less as the show goes on. He seems vacant.
This episode, I hate the fact that everyone wants to propose to Lorelai. Does this, don't spoil it for me, but I can't imagine this continuing. I can't imagine, like, the next guy that she dates goes, I think we gotta get married. Because, like, then at that point, it's like, she's gotta be like, what is happening? Why does this keep happening
to me? Yeah, let's... Slow it down, boys. Yeah. I will not.
I swear on the soul of Nico.
From the soul of Nico. Is this the first Nico line she has where it's like, oh,
no,
she's obsessed
mentioned
with Nico?
Before.
Okay, she has. Okay.
Because I thought that was funny when she. What did. She said something about the lead singer of Blur, which I thought was really funny because that's never been mentioned before.
The lead singer of Blur.
Graham something. I don't know his last name.
Graham Elwood.
No, yeah. Comedy film nerds.
CMN.
Semen?
CMN.
Oh.
No, I don't do jokes like that. I'm classy.
I love those jokes.
You've been listening to the Holocaust. Do you want to rate the season as a whole? Is that too daunting to do?
I don't think so. I think
this has been, I think as first seasons go.
It's a pleasant first season. It's not the kind of first season where I think, oh, they're adjusting.
Potential,
this stuff.
Yeah. It's not like a Mindy project where it's like
not a Mulaney.
It'll.
I love John Mulaney so much. No, I don't want to badmouth him. I love John Mulaney so much. That's all
period,
I will say.
Mark. Yeah. So it's not like one of those shows. So it's been great. I think it's been a great ride. What the hell am I saying?
It's been a great ride.
We're in our 6-hour podcast.
Welcome to hour 6 of this episode of Gilmore
Guys. It's been a great ride. What, like, who am I?
Honestly.
Who are any of us?
This season has been...
Be honest.
See, I want to say 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah?
But then that's... I feel like that's me saying it was... It was a good season, but really, I think there have been moments where I wish there was 7.5 out. It is 3.75
out of
5 cups of coffee.
That's how we rate the end of the season.
That's how we rate the end of the season.
Well, how about you stick with that rating for each season?
Okay.
And I'll say I think it's 4 out of 5 stars.
Hollow.
Stars holla. Gotta get a stars holla. We need to say that more. That's
stars holla.
Stars holla, holla.
That's how we
holla.
Gotta introduce our raps.
That's true. We didn't do it
also,
that
also, we
time.
Gotta think of rap names.
Should we do that rap again?
Let's just rap the end song.
Right now?
I mean, like...
Instead of singing it?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. No, we did that once.
We need to sing it.
We need to sing it.
This is the finale episode. Let's just sing with all of our little hearts. And little souls and minds.
Bring out the gospel singers.
Ooh.
Jesus is.
Oh, they left.
We didn't pay them that much. I understand them leaving.
I might cut that out.
Yeah, you should. You really should cut that out.
Guys, thank you for listening to season 1 of Gilmore Guys.
Yeah,
it's Gilmore
been, what
Girls
a ride.
Stars Holocaust. We made it the whole season through. We had amazing guests. We figured out segments. We improved audio, maybe? I don't know.
I think so.
We gained listeners. We lost a few, probably.
We lost just about as much as we gained, probably.
Most likely.
But we thank every one of you who even listened or looked at the podcast and thought, maybe you might listen.
Yeah, maybe this won't be a piece of garbage.
This is a crazy experiment, and I feel like we're talking as if this is the end of it. Obviously, it's not. We have way more to go.
I want to thank my mom for pushing me out of her vagina. Who do you want to thank?
I want to thank Kevin's mom for pushing him out of her vagina.
That was about to get weird.
Yeah.
Geographically.
That's what was weird about it.
So, guys, okay. Well, we're really looking forward to season 2. We got some pretty good stuff in the hopper. Some pretty great guests. I don't want to tease anything too much, but let's just say some of our guests coming up are men, and some of our guests coming up are women.
Some's name rhymes with Blom Blanks. Some starred in The Blurminal and Road to Blurdition. Some of them were in Blastable.
The Blablinchy Blowed?
Oh, yeah. The Blablinchy Blowed with the sequel Blangles and Bleemans.
But then he was in that movie I didn't really like that much, Blairy Blown.
You didn't like Blairy Blown? I thought it was good.
I didn't see Blairy Blown.
Oh, you didn't? I did. I saw it in theaters, yeah. I honestly thought it was funny. Blorge Blay has a... George Takei. Has a cameo in it.
Oh, weird.
That is weird. I know, right? But I did think, like, it was weird. I was in the theater, and I was watching, and I was like, this is kind of funny? I don't know.
That must have been a crisis.
It was a crisis. I also thought The Dilemma with Vince Vaughn was funny. I have a problem. Don't come to me for movie advice.
Guys, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Kevin T. Porter.
I'm not on Twitter. Just kidding. That was a callback to Jason Manzoukas.
Manzoukas.
Who is one of our favorite people.
One of our favorite people.
I'm at ElectroLemon. Don't follow me.
You can follow the show. No, follow at ElectroLemon.
Shut up. Go. You can follow the show.
At Gilmore Guys Show. And tweet at us. Tweet questions, inquiries. We tweet. We concerns. Try to like communicate with the fans pretty directly on that.
Any sort
and
of cease
respond
and
desist. Everything. Yeah.
Legal notices.
Report us on Twitter.
Death threats.
Exactly. Write us in on GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Yep.
We should do that. I should have just, like, for the last couple episodes been doing 3 emails per. We're still working out the system, guys.
Yeah, we're going to be here working out the system
until
about season
6. We're only 21 episodes in. Yeah, we'll be perfecting until the finale.
Most people have about 100 episodes to go before they get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, just give it some time. Don't be impatient, millennials. So let's end the episode.
1, 2,
not
three.
Yet. No, I'm not ready. Demi,
it's
been an honor serving with you.
I'll see you on the other side, partner.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
Out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo.
Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, oh, oh! Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
Season 1, we did it.